With the state of today's economy, it is more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made of the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back into your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're going to cause trouble.
Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline.
We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything. I don't know. Like, I'm hearing that, like, they beat him once 38-0. Arizona beat the Cowboys once 38-0. I don't remember any of that. I guess it was back in the days of Cosell and Meredith and Gifford. But all I know is it's 31-3. The Cowboys are on the door step. They're right at the goal line trying to score here on third and goal. But it's amazing to me, like, they really love their Cowboys, these people. And I know that because I was on there forever in Dallas. They love the Cowboys. I mean, like no other. And it's amazing to me that they're still sitting there. That they're still sitting there waiting to cheer for them to score a touchdown. That's all they want is one touchdown because they came to the game, they spent all that money, and they have done nothing all night. And here they are at the 1 yard line on third and goal, and they have to go for it on third and fourth, right? And they got to score at least once for their fans because they're still sitting in the stands waiting. Look at them. They're standing there dancing and waiting for them to score. I would have been so gone. Mafia knows. Do you remember when I had the Jaguar and we were there? I would have been in that Jag doing a buck down that highway back to that. That Marriott or wherever the hell we stayed. All I know is that I would have never stayed for this football game. At 31-3, and you're still sitting there. Can you imagine? Like, how much of a loser do you have to be to, like, stay to watch? Like, look at Jerry and his son. They're still watching. They're standing in their luxury suite watching this. I'd be down in the clubhouse already waiting to light people up if I owned that team. You come into the dressing room after that performance, I'd have been like, give me my money back. Honestly, I'm paying you millions and you give me that? That's the effort you give me? Because honestly, they look pathetic in this game. Oh, they finally scored a touchdown now. Gallup, what a celebration for everybody. Ah.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you. because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, so anyway, just so we're clear, Hopkins did have a huge play in the game late when I had Albie on. He caught a pass and ran like 40 yards, 50 yards maybe. So he, Nuke went off on a beautiful play from Murray. So he didn't score. He got down to about the 5 and got tackled. He got caught. But it wasn't because he was getting caught from behind. It was kind of an angle play where the guy came over and knocked him out. Anyway, so I didn't want you to think he didn't do anything in the game. He actually had a big play. But he didn't have to do anything in the game because Murray did so much, right? And they're up 31-10. By the way, it was Cooper that caught the touchdown, not Gallup. I just thought when I first saw it, it was Gallup. But it was Cooper, who they don't throw to anymore, by the way. They just have not been feeding Amari Cooper the ball, which is crazy. They just gave him $100 million. How do you sign a guy for $100 million and not throw him the ball? You know what I mean? Like, they weren't throwing him the ball. CeeDee Lamb gets all the passes. Gallup gets all the rest. And you don't throw to this guy? That's insanity. No wonder they suck. But here's the deal. I hit the Arizona to win outright, getting 2.5. Boom. How do you like me now? I think I was laying 2.5, believe it or not. It doesn't even matter. I thought it was getting, but it was laying, apparently. I don't know what the final number was. That's what I got it at the beginning of the week. And I laid it. So I don't even know what it ended up being at game time. But either way, I hit the bet. It doesn't matter. They win 31-10. They would have gotten points, given points. They still would have covered either way. But anyway, it was Dallas laying one. There you go. Dallas laying one. That's funny. They finally scored with 2:40 left in the game, but they couldn't score the entire game on Arizona. They looked awful. I don't care what this score says. Know that 31-10 is not half as bad as it actually was, right? And after a 4-0 start, where Josh Allen, they were talking about, he was an MVP candidate. That's all out the window now. They've lost 2 in a row. And tonight, when they played at 5 o'clock in Buffalo, the Chiefs beat him. He completed 14 of 27, 14 completions the whole game for 122 yards. And it looked like, you know, it was as bad as it gets for him. He threw 2 TD passes as he had his 4th interception of the season, missed receivers throughout the game, and they lost 26-17 to the Chiefs. He said, quote, "We weren't good enough. I was not good enough. I got to do a better job. It's plain and simple. I didn't play very good tonight. I know that. I understand that. This team can't afford to have me play poorly. Early on, just not being as accurate with the ball as I should have been, making the right reads, making the right throws, and we turned it on a little too late there." So there you go. Anyway, it was the lowest total he's had since week 6 of his rookie season, excluding a week 17 game against the Jets last season when he played only one series. And so they play the Jets this week. Then they host the Patriots in Buffalo the following week. They've always said their goal is winning the AFC East for the first time since 95. And in order to do that, he's got to play better. That's just all there is to it. But look, on the bright side, I know they lost these 2 tough games, right? It is what it is. But let's face facts. The reality of it is that the Patriots have lost 2 in a row and 3 of 4, right? So you can talk all you want about the Patriots, but right now The Patriots aren't even in second place. Buffalo's 4-2. Miami's 3-3. Miami's ahead of New England. And the Jets season is already over. As far as the Bills go, right, they have lost. They got blown out by the Titans. And then they lost to the Chiefs. Those are their two losses. Before that, they beat the Raiders in Vegas. They beat the Rams in Buffalo. They beat the Dolphins in Miami. Tight game, 31-28. And they beat the Jets by 10 in Buffalo. Now they're playing them by laying 11 in MetLife. Do they cover the 11, Mafia, against your Jets on Sunday after the way you saw them look tonight?
Yeah, they'll still win by 20. Please. That back to that 10 points that the Jets won covered, I think no, they didn't even cover. I think it was like 6 points that game. But the 10 points wasn't even, like you said, telling of the game, like you said with this one, because the Jets scored late to make it that 10 points. They were getting blown out the whole game. They're going to get smoked. They'll lose by 20 the next game.
So you're willing to lay the 11, no problem.
Absolutely. And then, you know, the week after that, when they got to go play Kansas City, and it's probably like a 22-point spread, I'll lay that too.
That's awesome. So so when you see your team with Gase and then this guy, Greg Williams, opening his mouth, I cannot believe, to be honest with you. Now, I get it. These guys are professionals, so they can, you know, frankly, do interviews. Are you kidding me? Drake's going to break away here late in the game and go house from like 60, 70 yards. It's now 38-10. They scored again on a gigantic run. The guy just went like 50, 60 yards. No one touched him. It was 69 yards. It's going to be 38. They're dancing in the end zone. It's going to be 38-10 with the extra point. It's 37-10. Like, they're rubbing it in their face now at this point. And they didn't even try to. It was just a straight hand up the middle. No one touched him, right up the middle, and no one touched him, and the guy went 70 yards. They didn't even try to score. It just happened. Like, if you're going to open up the floodgates and let the guy go right through with no one touching him, then he deserves to go 70 yards to the hizzy. So there you go. It's unbelievable. All right, so where was I? So the Jets coach, Gase, and this guy Williams, right? So Williams opens his mouth and basically, in not so many words, questioned Gase, right? Like, this team, he's basically said the offense stinks and, you know, the team stinks and blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, Gase is like, I heard what he said. You know what I'm talking about, Mafia. This became like an issue yesterday. Right. What do you think of the fact that this defensive coordinator, Williams, opens his mouth up and starts slamming the whole operation? And then that Gase doesn't like cut that off at the head. Like, you know, I just don't think that, frankly, at this point that it does any, you know, good for the team or the franchise to let Greg Williams be doing interviews, talking bad about everybody. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, it's bad enough. Everybody already knows they're the worst team in the league. Everybody knows they're going to, if they just play like the way they are right now, they're not going to win. And they're going to be the number one draft pick. They're going to be the worst team in the league. The last thing they need is their defensive coordinator talking smack about everybody on the team.
Actually, I disagree. I mean, I think it does great things for them because it gives more discord, gives more bad, you know, blood in there. And the worse that franchise is internally, the worse they're going to be on the field, the better a pick they get. So go ahead, hate each other, talk all the smack you want. Like, he didn't sit out to talk smack. I think what, you know, where it was is that they have all these Zoom press conferences and someone asked him about how many points they've given up. And he's like, listen, it's not just all on us. Like, everyone made it like he made some big comment saying like, oh, the offense is leaving us, hang out to dry, or, you know, like our head coach doesn't know what he's doing, something like that. All he said was, listen, it's not just the defense. And he's right, because how many times the offense does nothing, gives you field position at the, you know, you're on 40, and then all of a sudden the defense is backed up, or, you know, they have a crappy punt that gives them, you know, great field position the other way, or the defense is out there the whole game because they can't get a single first down. I mean, some of those numbers obviously reflect poorly on the defense, and some of it is them, but it's skewed because when you have a defense out there the whole game playing probably 70 plays a game because your offense goes three and out every time they touch the ball, you can't just blame them. You know, these guys are just being hung out to dry. But he didn't say that. He just said, it's not just on the defense because the whole team sucks. That's how he should have said, like, we're all terrible. But all he said was, not just on the defensive side. And everyone blew it up. Like, he said that.
But you don't think that, I get it that they're out there too long, but he's not doing a good job either.
He's not telling anywhere.
I mean, that, like, Greg Williams has always been a really good defensive coordinator. He's got issues with, I guess, Bounty Gate and everything else, that the guy was, you know, dirty. We'll talk more about it on the bench.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
So Pharrell on the bench, what I was saying was that when Williams, he's got the rep, like, as a good defensive coordinator, everyone knows the guy can coach defense, and he's been, you know, let's just face it, fairly successful at it, but he's got the reputation of the bounty that's hovered over his head. And all I know is that he hasn't done it with the Jets because they have no talent. So I think Quinnen Williams is going to be a good player, but he's not a good player yet. And that's all there is to it. He's got all the talent in the world, but he doesn't know what he's doing yet. It's because the rest of them, I think, are so bad that it makes, he fits in like a jigsaw puzzle. He fits right in with the rest of them. You know, you are what you eat. I mean, the bottom line is that defense is so bad that it makes him look bad. You know what I mean? So I think that Greg Williams, My feeling is about it is that at this point it's gotten so bad, the team mafia, it's not a question of you agreeing with me or not. It's a question of, I just don't think he should be talking. I think there should just really, it's so bad now. I mean, let the players face the media and let Gase talk, because he's going to get fired anyway. At some point, like, if that guy survives this, that'll be the real story. How do you survive? I don't care what your contract is. I don't care who's on the team. I don't care what your relationship is with the Johnsons either, the brothers. All I know is that ever since he got to the Jets, all they do is lose. I mean, they lose like no other. So how do you just keep him around? Like, it's gotten so bad that people are making fun of him. Like, they're mocking the franchise. They're mocking the head coach. They're mocking Williams. They're mocking everybody. And I just don't see how Joe Douglas can, frankly, live with that. I don't know how you can keep that in place. You can talk rebuild. You can talk whatever you want. In fact, I'll tell you this much. If they keep losing, they're going to have the number one. And then Trevor Lawrence are going to draft, whether you like it or not. And they're going to have to revamp and change that entire team for him. And we talked to Adam Kaplan about it today. He was like, they need three of everything. They're so bad. And so my point is, Mafia, that I just don't think Greg Williams should talk anymore. I think it makes him look stupid. I think it makes them look stupid. I think it makes Gase look bad that, you know, some coach is talking on his own about the team behind him and he didn't have anything to do with it. I just feel like they should have one voice at this point. And maybe it's the players, maybe it's Gase. But I don't need, what's next? The special teams coach going to do an interview and talk bad about everybody? Maybe the secondary coach, the offensive line coach? I just want one guy to tell me, because it's already so bad. No one wants to listen to Gase or the players. What can they say in an interview that's going to change the fact that they're terrible? Nothing. So I don't know why. I know why the media interviews Greg Williams, because of exactly what happened. They know he'll tell it like it is, and right. That's what they want. They want someone to just finally come right out and say we suck, and they want right. those quotes, and I think it makes them look bad.
Yeah, I mean, there's only so many times they could talk to Adam Gase, have him say, you know, stuff about, oh, well, I'm not worried about my job. I just got to focus on my job is now. Or, well, we had good practices. It didn't translate. They're just getting the same stuff from him left and right because he got nothing left to say because there's nothing left to say. They just suck. You know, and you're not going to get the honest answer of him of, oh, yeah, I'm probably out of here in the next 10 weeks at some point. I might not even make it till the end of the year. But, you know, collect the paychecks until they fire me. You know, that's you're not going to get that from him. So they want the juicy quote. And Williams is a guy who, like you said, he's going to call it like it is. So they want turmoil. They want something going on. They want something to write about. So, you know, they're going to interview this guy, and then they take the one line he says that, you know, maybe that not even maybe that is about how the team in general sucks and turn it into an internal fight and how these guys are at war and how they don't like each other. And, you know, well, maybe this is why the team's terrible. No, they're terrible because they have no talent whatsoever. You know, the only guy who's playing well is Crowder. He's playing like an old pro at receiver, and they still can't get any offense going because their quarterbacks are terrible. They're, you know, they had one of the best running backs in the game for 5 years before they got him, and all of a sudden they couldn't use him at all. Like, the guy's the most all-purpose yards of anybody for how long, and they can't even throw the ball to him like idiots. It's just a complete mess there from top to bottom.
It really is. All right, so now that we've talked about them entirely too long, the Jets, I just wanted to say that going back to Kyler Murray for a second, I'm watching him do an interview after the game. 7-0 in Jerry's world. The guy, he won, I guess, four?
He won three high school titles there, and I think three games in college he won there as well.
Right, and then one of them was the Big 12 championship game. I know that, and then... tonight he wins, and that was easy money tonight, I got to tell you, because, it's funny to me, too, because most people that I heard from on this game, most people today, I felt were on the Cowboys. I just felt like everybody thinks, you know, people are such suckers for that helmet and that name. They hear Dallas, oh, the Cowboys are on Monday Night Football? Oh, well, I'm taking them. Who are they playing? Arizona? Oh, they don't have a chance. Arizona doesn't have a chance against the Cowboys in Dallas. It's so funny to me. They could have played the game in hell, and I would have bet on Arizona because I said flat out, Andy Dalton sucks, and Kyler Murray and Hopkins don't. That's all I need to know. And sure enough, Hopkins had that gigantic catch. But he didn't even score on it, but it was a gigantic catch just to, you know, rub it in their face that you can't stop Hopkins. They thought they could. That was their game plan. They were going to stop Hopkins. They were all over him. They had coverage all over him. The guy that was guarding him was just literally hacking the hell out of him. But it's funny. They're showing Zeke Elliott in 2016, 17, 18, 19. He lost five fumbles total. He's lost four fumbles this year already in one season. And then watching this guy Murray tonight just running it down their throat, one big play after the next on third downs, scoring touchdowns. He, one of them they stopped him at the half goal line. He scored on another one. He ran it in. He's just unbelievable. I mean, it's crazy to me. I got to be honest with you, how this little dude is destroying. I think he's making a huge name for himself in the NFL. As a really good quarterback, right? And he can do it all. Like, did you see that bomb he threw tonight to Kirk? It was 80 yards. I mean, it was a gigantic bomb. And I think he's got Hopkins. He's got Fitz. He's got Kirk. This is a loaded talent team with Kingsbury. I like him. I think I can't deny that I like him. I think that they got a creative offense. I think they can play. I'm not super sold on Kenyon Drake, even though he had a 70-yard touchdown run tonight. No one touched him. He went right up the middle at the end of the game to make it 38-10. But I'm not huge. I saw him drop a big third down pass. I'm not huge on him. I'm not bad on him. I think the guy's a good player. I don't think he's great, whatever. But they really, I guess, their secondary impressed me tonight with some picks. But I guess their defense without Chandler Jones would be my question. I don't think they're world beaters or anything like that. But you can't deny what they're doing now all of a sudden. Because, you know, Seattle's incredible. They're unbeaten. So everyone writes everyone else off. The Niners beat the Rams' ass. So people are back on the Niner bandwagon after the Jets beat them by 30. Now all of a sudden they're back on the Niners. What do you bet, Mafia? Do you think the Niners go to Foxborough this week and lose? Do you think the Patriots are losing two in a row at home?
Normally I wouldn't think so, but I mean, they just lost to Locke, who's okay, but the rest of that team is nothing, and they gave up all those field goals. Cam looked absolutely terrible. So if that defense shut down, if the Denver defense was, you know, has a bunch of guys missing and then got shut down by Cam, and then the San Francisco defense shut down the Rams, who were looking great against these other teams, I'm worried about that game. I mean, obviously traveling east never looks good for these teams, but I think that defense is going to give Cam a lot more trouble after what he just
did. So you're on the Niners.
At this point, I'm leaning towards Niners, yeah.
All right. Because I don't think they're anything to worry about. I think everyone just bought into them today because they beat the Rams. But they've looked terrible this year.
They have.
And so I'm not buying them. And I think Arizona's better. I do. I think Kyler Murray's better than Garoppolo. And I think, without a doubt, their receivers are better than San Francisco's. And you know, that's it. And I think the Rams are a lot better than they looked on Sunday. I think I like, you know, Woods and Kupp and Goff and Donald, and they are loaded with talent. And I mean, you're going to have an egg. You're going to lay an egg once in a while. And they did on Sunday night. So I was surprised they got beat. I thought they'd win that game. I was on them, and I got torched. But tonight I went 4-0. So I guess at the end of the day, it's what have you done for me lately? And what I've done for you lately is I hit every single bet tonight. How's that taste? So I'll take it. But I'm not buying San Francisco. I think there's something wrong with them. I've seen it. I think the Dolphins have played really good football this year with Fitz. And that's all there is to it. But the day I saw them go out to Santa Clara and beat them by like 30, whatever points, I mean, they beat them up and down. They beat them senseless. I can't even believe I saw that. That's when I was done with the Niners. I'm like, you're at home getting your ass beat by the Dolphins? I mean, you got to be kidding me. This is a team that went to the Super Bowl and they can't beat the Dolphins at home? That's when I was done with them. So whatever. Anyway, I'll go through some of these games this week and what happened this weekend. So I just wanted to, for all events, with you, go back and look at some of the games, right? Because I never really get an opportunity to, on coast to coast anyway, in the afternoon, 4-6 East and 1-3 West. I don't have time to like go through all the games because the show's pretty rigid and our schedule, like how it works, how we segment it and just bust through and do things. So there's no time to like, you know, sit there and look at every game, right? So I just wanted to look because, I mean, obviously I did those games on Friday. I hit everything. SMU to win, Tulane covered the 7. That was an overtime game. And I hit BYU and I laid 3.5 and they beat the snot out of Houston, 43-26 with a huge second half. They were losing in that game too, by the way, BYU. That quarterback of theirs, Wilson, is making a name for himself. I think the kid can sling it for sure. I talked about some of these games today on TV, but I'm going to just go through them again really quick. Notre Dame, I thought, looked terrible in that game against Louisville. in South Bend, and I'm sorry, you know that rankings mean nothing and that they're a complete joke, fabricated nonsense, and all those stupid power rankings they do in every sport every week. It's every week. They come out with power rankings in every sport every week. And it's just a gigantic cluster for Reller. And it's just the biggest waste of time ever. I've said this before, just so we're clear, there's only one team that wins it in everything. Okay. So you can have all these power rankings all you want. Congratulations. Oh, you finished number four in the power rankings. What, does your girlfriend still make out with you? I mean, honestly, if you don't win at all, what good are you? Seriously, like, you get what, number nine you finish? You're going to brag to your friends, hey, I finished number nine. Who's buying my pizza tonight? You know what I mean? Like, so these power rankings are a waste of time. They really are. And you never hear me going through power rankings. I just, there's no point in it. I mean, all that is killing time. They want to, here's what we're going to do. We're going to do power rankings in every single sport so people have something to talk about. Wrong. But here's my point. These rankings are not just power rankings. I'm talking AP and coaches polls in college basketball and college football are a joke, in my opinion, because at the end of the day, all that matters in college football is that college football playoff. That's it. And only two left standing and one wins it. And that's it. The other two, no one cares. Just so we're clear, no one cares about the teams that go to the Final Four in basketball and that lose on Saturday, okay? No one. No one cares about the team that loses the championship game. They only care about the team that wins it. That's it. Once they lose, then they do their cheesy, pathetic post-game interviews with the losing coach, and it's so awful. No one wants to hear from losers. They don't. You just think they do because they do it to you every time. Like, we're going to go talk quietly now with the coach that just lost. See if we can get any kind of emotion out of it. Coach, how do you feel about losing the championship game by 20? What do you expect? You know what you should get is every time you interview a loser, they should have Bill Belichick's face in a Monday presser. Just so you could see what it's like to have what they think of you. The coach even that gets interviewed, he doesn't want to do it. He has to do it. And then when he does it, he talks glowingly about how proud he is of his kids. And they do it in every sport. You know, the teams that lose, like Snitker, all of them, the Braves, whoever, the Astros, you know, I'm so proud. Dusty, I'm so proud of these guys. I'm so proud. It's so ridiculous. But here's the point I'm trying to make is that, and it took forever because I'm an idiot. But Notre Dame moved up to number three with that absolute hurl performance against Louisville. So how in God's name do you raise the roof and get you move up in the rankings when you play a game that bad? You know what they should do? They should call me up. I have the absolute just gigantic grapefruit size onions. To tell it like it is with the rankings. Here's what happens. Notre Dame should have dropped three spots in the rankings for that performance against Louisville. And don't even tell me I'm wrong. They actually moved up in the national rankings when they could barely beat Louisville in South Bend. Notre Dame, listen, someone do me a favor. Keep them out of the playoff because we already know what happens when they go. They lose. And they lose badly. Right. And then someone said to me today, I think it was Carver High. He said, Brian Kelly's never won a big game against a top ranked team. Like a number one, he's not going to beat Clemson. Is he really? Are you really going to bet on Notre Dame to beat Clemson when they can barely beat Louisville? Clemson's not going to mess around with Notre Dame. I think they'll give him a game in South Bend because it'll be the only game that matters to them. In fact, I'll bet my life yesterday, Notre Dame, when they were playing Louisville, was practicing for Clemson. That's what they're doing. They don't care about any other game except Clemson, but they better get up for that game because Clemson's going to beat their ass. Do you remember I was doing this show? You weren't on the air the other night. I won't even say, but people were trying to sell me on Georgia Tech beating Clemson. I was like, what? What? I was on the air with someone that was convinced that Georgia Tech would, no matter what, they'd be in the game and cover, no matter what. And I was like, I laid 4.5 touchdowns. I laid 4.5, and I was like, I was never worried about it. I was like, just lay it, Mafia. He's like, what do you? I go, lay it. Just lay it. So Notre Dame raises up in the rankings. They rise up or whatever, move up, whatever you want to call it, elevator up to the penthouse. They're top three in the country now. What a joke that is. When you play that bad, you don't deserve to do anything except drop. Okay, maybe I'll give you stay right where you are. But somebody else loses or something, so you move up because you play that bad? No way. Move somebody else up that deserves it. Not some team like Notre Dame that didn't deserve anything except basically a foot in their tuchus because they played so badly. They sleptwalk through the Louisville game, right? So there you go. And Clemson 73-7 over Georgia Tech. I'm a rambling rat from Georgia Tech and a hell of an engineer. Hell of an engineer. And I drink my whiskey clear. They were drinking whiskey, all right, at Bobby Dodd. When you lose 73-7, your girlfriend is so fat. I mean, honestly, you are screwed, bro. Miami beat Pitt, but they didn't cover. And I'm a huge Canes fan. Look over my shoulder if you're watching on the Sports Grid Radio YouTube page. You can see my 5 national championship Canes banners right there. Hope you see those clearly. Anyway, I love the Canes, but I bet on Pitt in 13.5. The number moved to 10.5. It wouldn't have been. I even told you on Friday it's not good enough. 10.5 is not good enough. You needed the 13.5, which is what I got at the beginning of the week. And PharrellOnTheBench.com, that's for lovers. That's what I do is make people money. And then Auburn, they lost to South Carolina. I never got to say this today on Coast to Coast on the TV side. Can I just say it now, Mafia? Would it be all right? I just wanted to say Bo Nix sucks. I mean to tell you, that guy, what a performance in Williams-Brice in Columbia on Saturday in South Carolina, losing to the Gamecocks. Not only was he terrible, throwing picks left and right, and they got their ass beat. But he was also involved in all kinds of nonsense, like talking smack with players from South Carolina, getting in shouting matches with his own teammates. Did you see him? Did you watch the game? The quarterback for Auburn lost his mind, and he was losing it on the sideline, screaming at his star receiver. No wonder the guy doesn't catch the passes, because you're a D to him, and you're screaming and yelling at him. I wouldn't want to catch him either. I'll drop him on purpose. You want to treat me and embarrass me on national television? That's what he did. He was screaming at him on the sideline. Meanwhile, he was throwing all the picks, and every time he ran, nothing ever happened. He did nothing. I know he had a bunch of first downs and whatever and everything else. But the bottom line was he could never get the ball in the end zone. And don't kid yourself about the 22 points, okay? Bottom line is I thought South Carolina played dirty. I thought there was so much after the whistle nonsense. I mean, they were shoving players, talking smack to them in their face after every tackle, standing over them with both legs over the player, looking down on them while they're making tackles. Like, it got so dirty and chippy that game. But I thought the Auburn quarterback lost his mind. And that's, you know, once your quarterback snaps, you lose. You can't have your quarterback snap. But he was so worried about what South Carolina was doing to him and talking smack to him that he got sucked right out of that game, and he was not even a factor. And how about Tennessee? They benched their quarterback because he was so awful. Kentucky beat their ass. I'm just going through the other ones that somewhat matter. Liberty beat Syracuse at the Carrier Dome, 38-21. They whooped that ass. And you got to admit, the Christians from Virginia, how about the Liberty getting involved? I know South, whatever. You can talk about Syracuse. They don't matter. But they're a lot bigger than Liberty, okay? And they beat them and humiliated them. West Virginia, they couldn't cover against Kansas. How embarrassing. They beat them 38-17. At least I don't think they covered. I got to look at that. I know they didn't cover because it was like 22 and a hook. Army beat Texas San Antonio. Let's see. NC State beat Duke, but they lost their quarterback. He broke his leg. They're playing North Carolina this week. Run to the window. Memphis, I gave you, they covered. They beat UCF 50-49. The kicker of Central Florida was arguing with his teammates on the sideline during a game, real late in the game. And it was better than the game was really good. Watching the kicker yelling at this other players, getting in a fight with him on his own bench, that's always a sign that you're losing when you've got the teammates fighting. You know what I mean? Like Bo Nix yelling at his receiver. You know you're going to lose. When teammates are yelling at each other, it's over. A&M beat Mississippi State in Starkville. I gave you Wake. They beat Virginia at Winston-Salem. And Florida State with a big upset of North Carolina. I gave you Alabama, Virginia Tech. And Blacksburg kicked BC's ass. Everything else was canceled. So coming up this week in terms of big games, Friday night, Illinois and Wisconsin in Madtown. Saturday, Notre Dame and Pitt. Cuse and Clemson, Nebraska, Ohio State. That Martinez is the quarterback in Nebraska. He's in his 35th year as the quarterback of the Cornhuskers. I mean, has that kid Martinez been there that long, or is that his brother now? I mean, this guy's been there for 15 years. I don't even know. I have never seen anyone play quarterback longer than that kid Martinez at Nebraska. NC State, North Carolina this weekend. Kansas State this weekend. Auburn, Ole Miss. Ole Miss, 6 turnovers. They're awful. Oklahoma, TCU. Florida State, Louisville in Louisville. Maybe the Noles can win another game on the road. Rutgers, Michigan State in East Lansing. Alabama's in Knoxville against Tennessee. Tulane, UCF, FAU, Marshall, those are decent games. Iowa State, Oklahoma State. Penn State's playing in Bloomington against the Hoosiers. And then Vatek, Wake. And then Houston's at Navy in Annapolis. Baylor, Texas, and Austin. Iowa, Purdue, and West Lafayette. Georgia Tech, BC, and Chestnut Hill. Kentucky's at Missouri. West Virginia, Texas Tech. Michigan, Minnesota. Virginia, Miami. I mean, it never ends, does it? UNLV, San Diego State. I mean, there's some really good college football games this week. Thank God the Big Ten's back. It makes everything look like more football, because it is more football, Shankado. All right, so Morenci's up next with Sports Rage. Gabe is a big Bills guy, like Carver High is. I guess two questions really quick. Were you surprised at how off Allen looked tonight? And then secondly, in terms of that defense that I respect so much, that I think is incredible, what the hell happened to them tonight? With the Chiefs just ran it for almost, 260 yards, whatever the hell it was. They ran it down their throats.
Well, you know what? In all honesty, the defense, there was actually progress. When you consider they held the Chiefs to 26 points, the defense has been a disappointment this year. And yeah, I expected more from Josh Allen tonight after the poor performance. I was hoping that he was going to bounce back, but the entire team is in a funk right now. The coaching staff, the players, the cheerleaders, the trainers, the dude, the janitor, I think just everybody. And let's be real, man. The Buffalo Bills, they played bad teams, to start the season. Now they're playing elite teams and they're somewhat being exposed. Doesn't mean that the sky is completely falling. I still think they're a 10-win team. I still think they're going to win this division. But I think we'd be kidding ourselves if we really believe they're on the same level right now of the Kansas City Chiefs and the Ravens and the Pittsburgh Steelers of the world.
So I got to tell you mentioned the cheerleaders, and I did notice that the Cowboy cheerleaders were working in the stands at Jerry's World tonight, and I have to say they looked
even
fantastic.
Better for the fans.
They looked fantastic.
I got to tell you, you read my mind, Scotty. I was watching a Miami Hurricane. I don't want to sound like, I might be a little bit too old to be saying I was watching a Hurricane game.
They're
I was
great.
Like, damn, I got to be honest. I like the mask too. It's a nice touch, Scotty. I got no problem with it.
Listen, they are smoke show hotties down there, too. I got to tell you, it's fantastic. All right, Morenci, have a great show. By the way, I had Pitt in 13.5. Anyway, I'll see you tomorrow at 4 on Coast to Coast. And great job, Mafia. Tonight, good night. I hit both games, Kansas City to win in minus and Arizona to win in minus.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast.
I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.